You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Good morning, St. Luke family. Happy Easter. He is risen. There we go. You know, can I just be honest with you for a moment? Easter is undoubtedly the most powerful, most pivotal day in the entire year. It's the day on which we celebrate that the fulcrum of all of history turned, the resurrection of Jesus. And it is the hardest day for me to teach. And the reason is, how do you really begin to unpack in 20 minutes the immense significance of this day? It's huge, eternally huge. And so every Easter Sunday, I find that I drive away from church and I go, man, that was an awesome Holy Week, and the choir nailed it as always, and the musicians nailed it as always. Our tech booth, our staff, our contemporary worship folks, and we had this huge platform in there. It was epic. They nailed it, as always. And then I think about it, lifting up the resurrection, I just go, ugh, that's not it. Because it's that big. And I get so busy during Holy Week, and I always think, man, I need more time and more time. So I've been after this thing, running after Easter Sunday for the past few weeks. And after Good Friday service, I thought, you know what? I've got about 3 extra hours. I'm just going to run after a little bit more. So Sarah Margaret, my daughter, and I, we went to the grocery store. How many of you know that was a terrible idea? And you know, we get in the grocery store, and I mean, it is jam-packed. You know what we found? Lines. Tons of lines. And I don't know if your brain works this way, but this is how mine works. When I get there and I see 34 lanes and there's 2 people, my patience meter does not do so well. That is not my best fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody else struggle with that? I am pretty much fully convinced that the other 32 lanes are not real cash registers at this point. They're there to trick you. And so we get in this huge line that winds down one of the aisles, and this guy starts to talk, and he goes, hey, man, how are you? And I go, hey, how's it going? He looks at me weird, and I see the little ear things, and I'm like, come on, this is awful. And I'm just thinking, I'm way too busy. I got lots of things going on. I'm running after this Easter sermon. I'm with Sarah, and I just go, ah! And then I start to laugh, and she goes, Dad, you've really lost it at this point. So we took a selfie. And for the next 25 minutes, she updated me on all the latest Gen Z lingo. It was awesome. We even took the long way home. But, you know, sometimes we get so busy doing life that we think there's no time for what matters most, don't we? We get so busy doing life, we think there's no time for what matters most because we're running. We have thousands of people to keep up with on our social media networks. I mean, we're running. And it's calendar Tetris. How am I going to fit this in? It's doing our emails while we're on the treadmill at the gym. It's our 3-minute devotional that while we're listening to it, we're scrolling to get rid of all of our notifications. It's watching parents and kids sit down at a restaurant as family, an opportunity to be in dialogue with one another about how life is going, and everybody immediately gets on the phones until the server brings the food. We're busy. We're running. And church, we haven't done any better. Worst idea ever, drive-through communion. Like, the whole point is being together and being with Jesus. What were we thinking? Or drive-through confession. I'm good, thank you so much, appreciate the forgiveness, bye-bye. And so, you know, we run into Easter service, we run into service, we run in, we do communion, we run out because we want to beat the Baptist to brunch. That's what we do. We're always running. And if we're honest, if you're honest with yourself this morning, here's a question I want you to ask yourself. Do you ever feel like you're running through life and have no idea why? Do you ever feel like you're running through life and you have no idea why? And if that's you, well, welcome to the first Easter. Because everybody is running on the first Easter. It's mass chaos. Lots of running. Mary's running, and Peter's running, and John is running. Everybody is running everywhere, but no one knows anything about what it is that's happened. And so the scripture unfolds like this. The women, they all go to the tomb. There's no guards there. The stone's been rolled away. The body of Jesus is gone, and so Mary takes off running. And she comes and sees the guys, and she says, hey, here's the deal. There's no body. Guys, how many of you know that the conversation went like this? Come on. Really? And so that's exactly what happens. John and Peter take off running. John, he's the track star. He's the younger guy. He gets to the tomb first. He stops. He doesn't go in. He lets Peter, the elder statesman, walk in. And he sees that the grave clothes are there, lying there. But there's this strange phenomenon that the head or the face covering is neatly folded up. Now, here's the thing. In the first century, if you were a grave robber, and you are caught robbing a grave, you die for it. It's a capital offense. So nobody who steals a body out of a grave is going to take the time to fold the head covering. So they're completely perplexed about all this. And what the scriptures go on to say is, you know, Peter saw this, and John saw and believed. And then we get this one-liner, which should absolutely perplex us. Take a look at what scripture says in John 29 and 10. For as yet they did not understand, we might say they didn't know. They ran to the tomb, but they didn't know from Scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then there's this, the disciples went back to their homes. Who goes back to their home after this? What? There's no body. I mean, aren't you? Seriously? They went back to their homes. They didn't know. So they just keep running. And that's what they were going to do for the next few days, because Jesus, he'd appear in an upper room. It's locked. They fear they're the next ones to die. And they put the fingers in the nail marks, and they don't know what's going on. And not long thereafter, Peter goes back to fishing because he figures, I've denied Jesus three times. I ain't getting back on that train. Nobody's letting me into that kind of grace. He didn't know. Mary didn't know either. Mary stays at the tomb. Maybe she's tired. Maybe she just wants to try to figure all this out. But she's crying, and the angels show up, which that's not normal. And she says, I don't know where he is. They took him. And then we get this other beautiful one-liner that all of a sudden, Jesus appears before Mary. And what the scriptures say is, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know it was Jesus. What? How could she not know it was Jesus? So let me hit you with the gospel one more time this morning in case you don't know. Everybody's running, but no one knows a thing. That's the first Easter. Peter running, John running, disciples running, and then they go home. And Mary runs all over town. And after everybody leaves, she finds who she's looking for, and she doesn't even know that it's him. That's Easter morning. Everyone's running everywhere, and nobody knows anything. They followed him everywhere. Think about this. For 3 years, they followed him everywhere, heard him teach everything, watched him heal everyone, and now in this moment, they're running everywhere, but nobody knows anything. I think that's just like us today. People who are running after something, somewhere, for someday, instead of after someone. We're running after all kinds of stuff, aren't we? Success, approval, comfort, a life that's Instagram worthy. We're running after everything except someone who gives us the kind of life that's worth living. And we wonder why we're exhausted. And I can tell this morning who is. I know every Sunday. Some of y'all sleep. I'm not that bad. I love you. It's all good. I'm glad you get a nap somewhere. But that's what we do. We run, we chase, we're going to perform, and all the while we pretend so badly for one another. Have you ever noticed that? How are you? I'm good. I'm blessed. Are you? Here's the thing. We don't run because life is busy. We run because we don't know who we belong to. We don't run because life is busy. We run because we don't know who we belong to. And we don't know that we belong to someone. We belong to the Lord. In fact, Galatians chapter 5 at verse 1 captures this. The text says, for freedom, say it with me, freedom. That's a good word. Are you with me? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. When Jesus rose from the dead after dying on the cross, he gave us victory. He gave us freedom. Freedom over evil, freedom over sin, freedom over death. And part of that freedom is to stop running the rat race that the world is and recognize you belong to someone. You don't have to prove you're enough. And in fact, that's the point of the rest of Galatians chapter 5. The scripture tells us that as we belong to someone, as we belong to Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And in giving us his Holy Spirit, we're able to walk in the Spirit towards a new kind of life. And that new kind of life brings about fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now that self-control is a big one. And as we are able to walk in the Spirit and gain the fruit of the Spirit, we're able to really bear one another's burdens. We really get the opportunity to be the church together. That's what it is that we're called to do. That's who it is that we're called to be. You believe this? Friends, Easter, underwhelming. And I kind of get that's where you're coming from. In fact, the church research group, Barna Research, would agree with you. The statistics support it. You know who's the highest frequency of church attenders now? Gen Z. Where's my Gen Z people at? Oh, come on. You're loud with everything else. Let's go. Like, let's flaunt it just a touch today. About 50% of the church attends online. For the last 25 years, church attendance has dropped 7%. And yet regular church attenders, those who attend more than twice a month, 72% of them say, I experience God in my life. I wonder why. Whereas about 50% say, who attend church less than twice a month, that they experience God in their lives. And you look at the state of things here in the United States over the last 20 years, is it a shock that depression, anxiety on the rise, debt on the rise, people saying, I'm not ready to do this married thing, and our satisfaction with life altogether in these United States, people would say in general, is trending downward. Here's the thing, friends. You can be busy, you can say you know about Jesus, and still not be free. Because you're running after something, somewhere, someday, somehow, and you have no time for someone who will change your life. Let me drip that Easter truth on you. You're running and you don't know why. You don't know why there's no time for worship or for prayer or for scripture, but man, our thumbs are worn out from the phone. Our eyes are bug-eyed with all the screen time. Our brains are on meltdown from all the energy drinks and the video games. But I got no time for God because look at me run. Look at my bougie, old money, Instagram-worthy kind of life. I got it. Friends, that's not freedom. It's bondage. It's bondage. And the point of the scripture in Galatians 5 at verse 1 is that we're not free to choose. It's not that we're free to choose. We can do whatever we want now because I prayed a prayer. It's not that we're free to choose. It's that we're free from sin. We're free from evil. We're free from death. We're free to live. We're free to follow where Jesus would lead us. That's the point of the scripture. I remember one Sunday morning, one of the churches I served, I walked out in between services at one of the parking lots, and there is this dad just having a rough Sunday. Dads, have you ever been there? You know, one kid's screaming, another kid hitting his brother, that brother's picking his nose. Mom's melting down, and all of a sudden the dad just snaps. Every dad's had that moment. I don't care how good of a dad you are. The dad just snaps, and he goes, "What is the deal? We can't ever get to service on time. Just one Sunday. I wanted not to run. I didn't want the cheap seats." And you're screaming, and you won't stop picking your nose. And you're melting down. Just one Sunday, not running. You know, I'm standing out there thinking, how am I going to get by this guy without him seeing I'm here? And all of a sudden, he turns around and he sees me, and he just goes beet red. And he goes, "Great, now the pastor knows we don't have it all together. We're that family." And I said, "Brother, we're all that family." Never saw him again. I'm just teasing. We got him some great seats inside because he needed some grace that day. How often do we run even to a place of grace and end up exhausted? And that takes me back to Mary. She's standing in front of the risen Jesus with all of the glory and splendor that he has from eternity. And the scriptures tell us this morning, she did not know it was him. And I wonder, how does this happen? Because here's this woman, the scriptures tell us, Mary Magdalene had seven demons. That's the scripture's way of saying she was completely, utterly, totally, 100%, without question, possessed. And Jesus set her free. And now all of a sudden, that same Jesus who set her free, he's standing there, risen from the dead in front of her. But she doesn't know that it was him. Until he calls her name, Mary. And she turns around, and that's when grace changes everything. You know, some of you here today, you walked in just like that dad this morning, exhausted, life's chaotic and rushed, and you're running to keep alive, to prove yourself, to show that you still got it. Some of you, you're a bit more like Mary. You're looking for a rabbi. You're looking for a rabbi somewhere, for someday, something, somehow. And the amazing part about the scripture is after Mary stopped running at the tomb, it was then that Jesus revealed himself to her. And that grace, it changed everything. When she turned toward him, her life was forever changed. And here's the thing. Everybody, friends, everybody has a religion. Everybody has a religion. You're either running to Jesus or to something else. Running after something, somewhere, for someday. And you're missing God in your life. And here's the good news. Someone's calling your name. Your name. Son, daughter, I love you. He's not calling your highlight reel. He's not calling after your worst day or your worst sin or your worst failure or your worst fear. He's calling your name and saying, you don't have to run anymore. The tomb is empty. Sin is defeated. Jesus is alive. Victory is given over sin and death and evil, and freedom is here right now. This is the day that you can choose to stop running and start living. Live your life for Christ and for Him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for all the running that we do. Running after something, somewhere, someday, somehow. Forgive us that we've missed you in the process. Forgive us, Lord, that we're running after everything this world has to offer. And yet what Easter shows us is that you defeated sin and death. You gave us victory over evil and the grave. Be Lord of our lives. Don't just save us, but be Lord. Lord over our calendar, Lord over our choices, Lord over our families, today on this resurrection day. Help us live and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.